This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. Ash Wednesday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the past 3 weeks here, I have been emphasizing the reality of Lent and the practical nature of Lent and the necessity of making your faith real for you. As it starts this day, for now until the Easter Vigil, we are in the season of Lent, and I pray that it, as emphasized with the folks who are here regularly, that understanding that all Catholics observe Lent, but for us, the observation should be very individual. It is something that everyone in the church does, but everyone in the church should do it as individual. And that is, you should engage with our Lord Jesus Christ, not out of some fear of being smitten from heaven or anything like that, but out of love. The whole thing is about love. Everything we do in our Christian lives is about love. We hear that a whole lot, and just like the word love is an abstraction and an emotional term, if you don't define it correctly, so is the word sin. And as we approach this, we have this, one of those kind of paradoxical moments in the Catholic life, and we have to understand that what we engage in over this next 40 plus days is truly an act of love. But it is also an act of sorrow, and equally, they're the same. It's not, one doesn't, well, is it love or is it sorrow? Yes, it is. Both. It's another either-or proposition, it is both and. It is sorrow and love. It is truly, I guess you can look at it, the sorrow of love. And I say that because it is for someone. Okay? It's not for an abstract thought or a philosophy. It is for someone. We look at crucifixes all the time. Most of us wear them on our person. We wear one, we carry them in our cross, they hang from our rosaries, we have them images hanging around of our Lord and His Passion, and it can become so churchy. Most of us, praise God, cannot, for instance, say, let's put it in worldly terms, most of us cannot say that we know someone who did something for us that cost that person their life. There are some people in the military, some people in law enforcement, there are some firefighters that I know. This was going to happen to me, but so-and-so did this, and it cost them their life. And now I'm alive, and they are dead. Again, thank God, most of us cannot say that. But as Catholics, we cannot say that. Because there was a real person who really gave their life for you. That was our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you look at a crucifix, every single time, you should try, and we are dust, we're afraid, you know, and they are all around us, and we hear about them frequently, but we should focus our attention. That's what Lent does. It focuses our attention. It focuses our attention on the fact that there was really a person, really flesh and blood. It was not a sanitized, really neat sculptural image like that. Oh yeah, that's our salvation right there. No, it was a person just like the one sitting next to you right now, just like you were, and someone took that person and nailed them to pieces of wood and let them hang. That was after beating them within an inch of their life, literally. Everybody here knows a person who died for them. And guess what? If you do happen to be one of those kind of people who know a person in this world who died for you and you're alive and they're dead, guess what? They did something, but they did something that was temporary. Because guess what's going to happen? You could have a person who lined up and died for you every single day. But guess what's going to happen? Eventually, you are going to die also, and there's nothing that any other person can do about it. But our Lord Jesus Christ did something about that. Because He loved us, He hung on the cross for us. And it was real. It was not a sanitized picture. It was grotesque. And he endured it for each and every one of us. He endured it for you by name. He was thinking about you while he was hanging on there. So when we engage in our Lenten disciplines, when you start to get, and I don't even want to say uncomfortable, because most people don't do things in Lent that make them uncomfortable, maybe a little less comfortable, a little less comfortable than normal. When you get a little hungry, but oh, I said I'm going to go to Stations of the Cross three times, and I have to go this afternoon. When those little things come up, and they're a burden, and you're doing it for a reason. You are doing it for someone, our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is good. He was a real person, and he was good. He was God, but he took your flesh so he could die for you. He's good, and he is your friend. Unfortunately, we hear that so often anymore, and they think like God's your buddy, like he's your equal or something like that. That is not the case. That is not the case at all. He is God. He is God and we are not. He is the creator. We are the creatures. We have to understand the distinction. Okay? He is your friend, but he's not your buddy, and he's your friend because he did something good for you. Not in terms of friend like we usually think about it. Someone with whom you hang out. It's not like that at all. He actually did something that benefits you. He is your friend. He gave his life for you. Everything good that you have, everything. You know, when we say everything, oh, the roof over my head, my job, my food, and everything like that. Every breath you take into your lungs, every member of your family, everyone you have ever loved or will ever love, he gave to you. They are his. He is the giver. If we love them so much, how could we love him any less? And how could you not love him actually more for what he's done for you? Everything good you have is his. And with that being said, you know, that fosters the love within us. But I said there's another side of that, and that's the sorrow part. Where's the sorrow come in? He's done a bunch of good things. Yes, he does. He's done some glorious stuff for us. That's a gross understatement. But you have to understand that what is Lent about is bringing to mind how many times we have offended him. Well, I haven't offended. Yes, you do. Every single day, in thought, word, and deed, in some way, you offend the divine majesty. You offend him. Sin is any lack of conformity to his revealed will. It's any violation of his revealed will. And even if you think about doing it, because he's a holy God, it's a sin. We offend him every single day. It's almost unfathomable how much he could love us, and it's equally unfathomable how much we can offend against a person who has done so much for us. We would really probably not think of offending anyone in this world who did good things for us. We'd even stand up for him. Oh, you know, don't say anything bad about him or her. They're this, they're great. And we have no problem at all offending him every single day in thought, word, and deed. That should foster in us an intense sorrow. That's the whole deal with the ashes. That's the whole deal with Lent and penance, is to understand, not all the church says we do this, the church, if you're doing this because the church says to do it, might as well sleep in. All right? That's all there is to it. You should be doing it because you love him. You should be doing this because you truly do sorrow for your sins, because you are offending a real person. A real person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not a philosophy or an abstract idea. This is where the pendulum swings back to the love thing. We talked about love, then we talked about sorrow, now we swing back to the love. Why should we love him? Why should we do things for him? Because he has forgiven you. If we don't forgive people, and we get our feathers ruffled if somebody criticizes us, and it might even be warranted. I can't believe you said that to me. Well, you really did that. Well, you still should have said that to me. And then there's the grudge for years and decades and the not speaking and everything like that. Okay? He's forgiven us for every day that we offend against him. It's called a confessional. That was last Sunday's homily. That's what the confessional's for. He offers forgiveness every day, every single day. Doesn't matter how much we spit in his face, and we do, He is willing to forgive us. Him, that when it hung on a cross for us so long ago, he forgives us. It should really, and truly, if you're doing Lent properly, I mean, if you say your rosary, the sorrowful mysteries, occasionally there should just be a tear that comes welling up in your eyes if you just don't out and out weep. There should be some time during Lent when you do, because you should be thinking about how we've offended him and all the glorious things that he has done for us. It's a weeping, but it's a weeping, yes, of sorrow, but a weeping also of an understanding that we've been forgiven, just like a little child that comes running to their parent for a hug after they get chastised or after they hurt themselves. It's a weeping of sorrow, yes, but it is also a weeping of joy. We weep with sorrow for love. So remember, is the next 40-plus days right before Easter, and everything focuses upon that. Everything during the whole Lent is about what he has done for you in overcoming death. I emphasize his dying for us immediately. Well, Lent is the pathway toward him rising again and overcoming that death that he endured for you. So use it for that. Use it appropriately. Use it with love, but also use it with sorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.